2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul is writing and penning the very last words before he would die a martyr for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had many battle scars from a life that was dedicated to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read about Paul's life, we know that he was stoned and left for dead at one point. We know that the Apostle Paul was whipped. He was beaten with rods, three times shipwrecked, imprisoned because of his faith. On and on it goes. He'd been through some valleys. He'd been through some hard times. But I want you to notice what he says in verse 6. Will you look at it with me, verse number 6? He says, 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered." He's like, "I'm ready to go. And the time of my departure," talking about going to heaven, "is at hand." And then he says in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight." Can you say that verse with me? Let's say the whole verse. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Hey, when he says, "I've finished my course," that word "course" literally means race. And it wasn't unusual for Paul to liken the Christian life to a race. As we read earlier in the service, before we did that song, "Finish Line," Paul likened the Christian life to a race in 1 Corinthians 9:24 when he said, "Run." You know, he said, "Don't you know that they which are in a race run all one win? So run that you may obtain." Well, that was common for Paul to use that kind of analogy. In Acts, I think it is, he mentions, he says, "I want to finish my course with joy." And so Paul would liken the Christian life to a race. Hey, did you guys know that there's a race going on in Daytona Beach today? There's a race going on, and it's called the Daytona 500. And I wonder, how many of you are going to watch the race today? How many of you really don't care much about it and don't even know if you'll watch any of it? That's me. I got to admit. All right. I've watched my share of racing through the years, back when Clint was into it, my oldest son. But I don't know that I'll watch it today. NASCAR is a funny sport. I mean, I live in Daytona, but it's a funny sport. You know, yesterday, Caleb and a couple of his buddies had tickets, you know, to the race. And so me and Clint were picking them up after the race was over, my oldest son, Clint. And we're picking them up, and I'm on the phone with them, you know, telling them where we're at. And I'm like, "Who won the race?" And there was a pause, and they went, "Number 16. "Number 16. I'm like, "Well, who is number 16? And there was a long pause, and they went, "We don't know." I looked at Clint, and I said, "They just spent 4 hours at a racetrack and don't know who won the race." Crazy. Clint looked at me and said, "That wouldn't happen with football." I said, "Yeah, I know." Oh, man. Didn't even know who won. Spent 4 hours there. Number 16 won. Yeah, it was hilarious. We got a big laugh, you know, out of that. But, you know, that race today is not the Daytona 20, and it's not the Daytona 50. It's the Daytona what? It's a 500-mile race. It's a race of endurance. Every driver wants to finish the course. The Christian life's the same way. The Christian life is not a 50-yard dash. The Christian life is a marathon. It's a marathon. Just like that race here in Daytona today, endurance is the key. All right? Endurance is the key. Just like that race in Daytona today, endurance is the key in the Christian life. In fact, I want to show you just in one book of the Bible, the one that you're in right now, four times he talks about enduring. Go to chapter 2 of the same book, and we're going to go back to chapter 4. That's going to be our text that we'll exposit this morning. But go to 2 Timothy 2. And look at verse number 3. He tells Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore endure." There's the word, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 10. "Therefore I," Paul said, "endure all things." Look over at chapter 3, verse 11. "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." What persecutions I what? Endured. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Look at chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, our text, verse 5. "But watch thou in all things." And then what's the next two words, church? Endure affliction. Four times in one book, he says endure. You see, the reason why God emphasizes that is because God knew the you know what the temptation is, right? You get saved, You get on fire for the Lord. You're so thankful that He saved you and made you part of His family that you get all on fire. And a lot of Christians start out good, and then they give up and they quit. They run out of gas, to use the same terminology. They run out of gas. And you know what? I was thinking about this. I don't think that there's going to be any trophies given out today at the Speedway for leading lap number one. There's not going to be any trophies for leading lap number 3 or 5 or 10. There's not going to be any trophies given out for that. Christian, you got to finish your course. You got to finish the race. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I've been saved a while. I've been in this race a while. And you know what? We're all going to trip. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to all mess up. We're going to all have problems, okay? I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the question is, will you get up and will you keep going? Will you stay in the race? Or are you going to let Satan knock you out of the race? You know, it could be you're here today and you're fighting discouragement. You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like, man, I am out of gas. You know, I feel like quitting. I feel like I'm out of spiritual gas. I just don't think I can go on. I mean, I just feel beat down. I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Paul didn't give up. Paul went through so many things. But he said, you know what? I'm ready to go. I'm ready because I finished my course. How can we finish the race that we're in for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we finish that race? We're going to look at 2 Timothy 4, and I'm going to give you three very simple yet powerful, powerful thoughts. And I want you to take the message home with you. And I want to challenge you to study the message. That's why we send it home with you and give you this. It's because we want you to take it. We want you to study it this week. We want you to take the three thoughts that we're going to give you this morning from this text, and we want you to get it embedded in your heart. We want it to soak on your heart like a gentle rain softens up the soil of the earth. We want the Word of God to soften your heart. We want it to saturate your heart. As we look at these three principles, I can promise you, if you'll get them embedded in your heart, let them saturate your heart this week. I promise you they'll cause you to endure. They will cause you to finish the race. And you'll be able one day to look back like Paul and say, I finished my course. I didn't quit. I finished. Number one is this. If we're going to finish our course, finish the race, number one, you got to love, look for, and love Christ appearing. You got to look for it. You got to love it. In verse 1 and in verse 8, Paul mentions Christ appearing. Will you look at it with me? Look at verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, notice, at His appearing and His kingdom. Look down at verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that, and say the last three words with me, church, love His appearing. Say it again. Love His appearing. Recently, we had a family come over to our house, and they came over for some food and some fellowship. Denise was making a big meal, and you know what I kept doing? I kept looking for their appearing. Denise prefers I stay out of the kitchen. The way I help is to stay out of the way. And so she said, you go look for them and let me know when they're here. And I said, hey, when they get here, I'll do my hoot owl so you'll know they're here. Hooty-hoo, hooty-hoo. She said, just say, Denise, they're here. I said, that'll work too. So I got the window blinds open, and I'm walking by the window, and I'm looking. And then I go do a little something, and then I come back, and I look. And then I'd go do something, and then I'd come back, and I'd look. And I'm looking for their appearing. Finally, I see their car pull up, and you know what I did? I went, hooty-hoo, hooty-hoo. I gave her that secret signal. They're here. And Denise rolled her eyes like she always does at me when I'm being silly, which is often, right? All right. But no, I mean, they're here. I was looking for their appearing. Christian, somebody very special is coming to see you. and is going to appear. And that person that's going to come looking for you and is going to come and see you, that person that's going to appear is none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as we think about that, and we think about His appearing, you may have a few questions. And I have a text there in your handout. And can we turn? Yeah, thank you. You already got it. Good job, John. And I'm going to have Shannon help me with this. All right? Look in your handout and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Pastor Shannon, I want you to do something for me. I want you to read until I tell you to stop, okay? And I'm going to answer four questions about His appearing right here from the Bible. You're going to see it. It's going to be as clear as crystal. Look at it with me. The first question you may say, you mean He's appearing, Jesus Christ? Well, where is He coming from, Pastor Dan? Go ahead and start reading.
For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Stop right there. Where is He coming from? Where is He going to appear from? He's going to appear from heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but one day He's going to appear from heaven. You say, well, Pastor Dan, how's He coming? Well, He just read, He's coming with a shout, and keep reading, Pastor Shannon.
With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God.
Stop right there. The Bible, hey, you say, well, how? He's coming from where? Heaven. Well, where is it? What, you know, how is He coming? He's coming with a shout. By the way, it's okay to shout in church and say amen. Amen?
Amen.
It's okay to say hallelujah, right, Brother Gary? Good. It's okay to shout. It's biblical. Amen? All right. Now notice, He's coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You say, well, Pastor Dan, what's going to happen when He returns? Go ahead and keep reading, Pastor Shannon.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Stop right there. What's going to happen when He returns? The Bible says, we which are alive. Those of us who are fortunate enough to be alive when our Savior returns from heaven, the Bible says we're going to be caught up, we're going to be raptured out of this earth, we're going to meet Him in the air. Those who are dead in Christ, those who have already gone on before us, but they were in Christ, they were saved, the Bible says they're going to be caught up first, and then we're going to be caught up with them. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Hey, He's not sending an angel to get us. He's not sending Moses, Paul, David, or Daniel. He is coming Himself to catch us up, and we're going to meet the Lord Himself up there in the air. Amen? And then you say, well, Pastor Dan, okay, I see that. I know where He's coming from, how He's coming, what's going to happen. But what happens after His return? Go ahead and keep reading, Pastor Sam.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Woo! Can I get an amen to that, huh?
Amen.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Question, are you looking for His appearing? Are you looking every day? Now, I got to tell you, there's been times in my life when I have fallen short of that. There has been times in my Christian life when I have lost sight of that, and I needed reminding that I need to be looking for His appearing, and I need to be loving His appearing. You know, it's interesting. Paul didn't just say he was looking, although in other portions of Scripture he did say he was looking. But in this portion of Scripture, the Bible says Paul loved His appearing. Paul said there was a crown of righteousness to all those that love His appearing. That's interesting. Well, what's righteousness? Righteousness is doing right. Do you know what the Bible's inferring right there? The Bible is inferring when by Him saying, hey, those that love His appearing are going to get a crown of righteousness. Well, what He's saying is that when you are loving His appearing, when I am looking for Him to show up any moment, when I am living in anticipation that Jesus Christ, my Savior, could show up at any moment, you know what, my friend? That will cause you to do right. The crown of righteousness is to those that love His appearing. Why? Because when you love His appearing, and you know He could show up at any moment, you're going to want to do right. If you know that somebody could show up at your house at any moment, what do? You make sure the house is what? Clean. Make sure it's ready. Right? You make sure it's ready. Why? Someone's going to come. They're going to appear any moment. Let's make sure the house is ready. And guys, hey, I know I'm going to get an amen right here. When somebody's coming from out of town to actually stay in your house a few days, oh, boy. Whew. Getting ready for their appearing, you just wish they wouldn't appear, amen? Hope none of my family's listening to this, but Hope none of them go online. I'm just kidding. But whenever we're out of town, we were just out of town last week. I had a deacon retreat I did Monday and Tuesday for another church. And I taught at a deacon retreat about five times in 2 days and taught a bunch of deacons. And we had a great time. But we were gone for a couple days. And I got two teenage boys. And one's 18, one's 16. And they were staying at the house. And they just know, they know the routine that, you know what, when we come back from being out of town, the house better be better. It better be as good as, I said in the early service, it better be as good as when we left it. And my youngest son, who's 16, was on the front row, and he said, better. It better be better than when you left. Okay, I'll take that too, amen. And they just know, and if we say to them, we're going to be home sometime after 12 o'clock today, then you know what? They're looking for our appearing. Should I say they're looking for Mama's appearing? Because Dad could come in and the whole place could be like a tornado. And I'd be like, yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah. Did a pretty good job. Yeah. You know, I mean, with me, it's like, you know, my standards are not hers. But they're looking for her appearing. And they want to make sure they're ready. Right? And in the same way, if we live every day in expectation of Christ appearing, you wake up and you think, your first thought is in the morning, well, Jesus, this could be the day. I may get to see you. I may get caught up to meet you in the air. And I may get to see you today, Jesus. If you live every day in anticipation and expectation of his appearing, it'll cause you to live pure and holy and be ready to meet him. You'll be ready to meet him. You know what it'll do, church? It'll keep you in the race. If you love his appearing, you'll think twice before quitting. You'll think twice before giving up. You'll think twice before giving in the towel. You'll think twice before getting out of the race and taking a detour, won't you? If you're loving his appearing and you're looking for it every day, oh, my friend, you're going to do right, and you're going to stay in the race. But there's a second principle that's very important, and here it is. Are you ready? If we're going to run the race and finish the race, number two, we have to overcome adversity. There's going to be some adversity that you're going to have to get by. Hey, whoever wins that Daytona 500 today, there's going to probably be some adversity to overcome to some degree. In fact, I used to watch racing quite a bit. Clint was into it for a while. He actually went to school with Mark Martin's son, and so he kind of got into it for a while, and so I got into it with him. But you know what? When I watched those races, what I found out was very seldom does the guy that wins the pole and starts out in first win the race. Very seldom. And for sure, if he wins it, it's never a situation where a guy is leading lap number one and then he stays in the lead the whole race. He stays way out in front of everybody, uncontested, leads every lap of the race, and then coasts across the finish line. That just doesn't happen. You see, whoever wins that race out there today, there'll be some adversity to overcome. There'll be drivers ahead of them that they're going to have to figure out how to get around them. There's going to be mechanical issues that they're going to have to fix. There'll be steering issues that they're going to have to figure out. There'll be pit problems that they're going to have to overcome. I got a picture here right here. And this guy right here is trying to get the gas tank out of the car. And if you go to the next one, he ends up on the ground, you know, because he's trying to get that gas tank out and he's trying to, I guess, keep it in their pit spot or they get penalized and so forth. I don't know all the ins and outs of the rules. But yeah, there was somebody, he couldn't get the thing out. So he ends up on his back end. You ever feel like you're on your back end in the Christian life? You ever feel like that, you know? You think, mercy, you know? And there's going to be things like that. You know, here's a picture here. This right here, I mean, isn't that interesting? I guess it's near the end of the race here, and you got a wreck. And you got cars down here at the bottom trying to navigate around the wreck. You know, well, in the exact same way in the Christian life, if we're going to finish our course victoriously, if we're going to finish it victoriously, I promise you there's going to be some adversity to overcome. There just is. There's going to be some problems you're going to have to work through. In fact, look at verse 3 and notice it says there, Paul said to Timothy, for the time will come when they will not. Talking about people. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. Timothy, they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, they're going to turn away their ears from the truth, verse 4 says, and they'll be turned unto fables. Number one, there will be people problems to overcome. There will be people problems to overcome. There always are in the ministry. You know why? Because the ministry is all about people. And wherever you have people, guess what you have? Problems, right? People will turn on you in the ministry. Other Christians will turn on you. You say, really? They did Jesus. He was perfect. They did Paul. He was an apostle. They turned on him. People are going to hurt you. They're going to turn on you. They're going to turn against you. They're going to attack you. People will disappoint you. Man, I can't believe he did that. Man, I can't believe she did that. I thought she was a godly woman. They're going to disappoint you. People are going to hurt your feelings. Sometimes intentional, sometimes non-intentional. But people are going to hurt your feelings. It's going to happen. People are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. It's part of the race, man. It's just part of the race. You're going to have people problems. Paul did. Timothy said you're going to have them. You're all going to have them. You're going to have people problems. You're going to have to navigate through that if you're going to run the race. But the second thing, number two, there'll be afflictions to overcome. Afflictions to overcome. Look at verse 5. He says there, but watch thou in all things. And then notice the next two words, and what are they? Endure afflictions. Did y'all see that, verse 5? Endure affliction. You know what that means right there? It means to undergo hardship. There are going to be some hurts, some scrapes, and some bruises spiritually. To use the expression out here in the NASCAR, with the NASCAR theme, as you run the race in the Christian life, there'll be some dings and some dents. All right? You're going to encounter some dings and dents. You're going to have some paint scraped off of you. All right? It's going to happen. It's not going to be smooth sailing. There's an old song I used to listen to, and it would talk about, you know, smooth, now that I'm saved, now that I know Jesus, it's smooth sailing. He paid the ransom for my soul, now I've got it made. Well, you know what I found out? I found out since I got saved, it hadn't been all smooth sailing. How about you? You know what? I've had some rough waters. How about you? I've had some rough waters. I've had some hurricanes I had to navigate through. I had some waves coming up on the ship. You know, it's not smooth sailing after you get saved. I mean, listen, there's some rough, stormy waters that you got to try to navigate through. I want you to do this. You keep a bookmarker or something there in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 4. We're going to go right back there. But I want you to go back to the left, two or three books. And I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians. It's right before Timothy. 1 Thessalonians. All right? Go back there. 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to go to chapter 3. And I want to show you something I think is a good cross-reference with this idea of enduring afflictions. He's writing here to young believers. They hadn't been saved that long. Paul had started the church. All right? And notice 1 Thessalonians 3. Look at verse number 3. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. So look up here a second. These people were new Christians and had been going through afflictions. Now, Paul said, don't be moved. That word moved means to shake or to disturb. He says, look at it again. That no man should be moved. That means to be shaken by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. But Pastor Shannon, it's like he's saying, I told you so. You know, I told you it was going to happen. I told you that once you were saved, there were going to be some afflictions that you were going to have to go through. It wasn't going to be smooth sailing. Paul didn't teach them that. He taught them, you know, there's going to be afflictions. And he said, look, it's happening like we told you, but don't be moved by it. Don't be shaken and don't be disturbed by it. So many believers do get moved and they do get disturbed when problems and afflictions come into their life. And I've heard Christians say, well, I just don't understand why God's doing this to me. You know, why is God doing this to me? Let me tell you what God's done to you. God has graciously saved you. He's forgiven you of your sins. He has redeemed you. He has given you eternal life. He's provided for you a home in heaven forever. That is the wrong question to be asking. Why is God doing this to me? God warned you to expect trouble down here. May I remind you, we are not in heaven yet, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is not on this earth yet. This earth is currently under the dominion of Satan and his world system. Problems are inevitable. Jesus Christ himself had problems, and he had afflictions, and he was the Son of God. This is a world system that is under the dominion of Satan right now. And you know what? It's a world of problems. It really is. Don't get me wrong. I love life. I enjoy life. But there are problems that you've got to work through. I mean, how many of you agree with me? Satan and Adam really messed everything up, didn't they? They really messed everything up. And you know what? Satan's called the god of this world, the prince of this world. Right now, Satan's world system's being implemented on the earth. So problems are embedded in this system. You're going to, anywhere you've got Satan in control, there's going to be sin, suffering, pain. There's going to be persecution to Christians. There's going to be afflictions. It's part of it. Adversity is going to, it will swallow you up, though, with that kind of attitude of, oh, I don't know why God's doing this to me. You know, why? It's like, what? Why is God doing this to you? You know, sin and suffering and pain and anguish, those are all Satan's ideas. Satan's system's in place down here. God's not doing it to you. I like that song. There's an old bluegrass song that says, he ain't never done me nothing but good. Oh, yes, oh, yeah. And it says, he ain't never done me nothing but good. You know what? That's not good English, but that's good doctrine, amen? That's good doctrine. He ain't never done me nothing but good. Let me tell you something. Satan's done you a lot of evil. God's done you nothing but good, Christian. You are in Christ, seated in Christ in heavenly places. And he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Victory does not come by God waving a magic wand and making all your troubles go away. That's not going to happen. Victory comes many times by endurance. If you go back to 2 Timothy 4, notice again, what did Paul tell Timothy? Look at that. I mean, it's so clear. It's black and white, but you got all this health and wealth preaching out there on TV and on radio and in books. And, oh, God's like this doting grandfather. He just wants you to be rich and healthy and wealthy. He wants you to have everything you want, you know. And that's not at all biblical. It's not right. And they give people all these false hopes, and that's why people then, when afflictions come, oh, God, he's giving me a raw deal. Why is God doing this to me? You know, and we get all these wrong attitudes, and it just swallows you up, the adversity. You're never going to run the race victoriously and finish the course if you don't have the right mindset. And Paul told Timothy, look at it. Paul's about to die. He said, you know all the afflictions and persecutions I endured. Now look at chapter 4 and look at verse number 5. But watch thou in all things. In other words, be alert, man. And then he says, endure what? Afflictions. Paul knew it was coming. He knew it. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Don't quit. Make full proof. In other words, finish it. Complete it. Don't quit. Victory comes many times by endurance. But number 3, the third and last principle is this. How do we run the race? Number 3, if you want to finish your course, if you want to finish the race, place your love in the right place. And this goes right along with last week's message. Valentine's weekend, when we talked about the true meaning of life is to love God and love people. Put your love in the right place. Now, look at the end of verse 8. 2 Timothy 4:8 And I want everyone in here to look at that, and I want you to think with me, and I want you to tell me, what did the Apostle Paul love? What does the end of verse 8 say? What did he love? He loved Christ's appearing. Well, you know what that means to me? If he loved Christ's appearing, then that to me means he loved Jesus Christ. If you love somebody's appearing, it means you love them. He loved Jesus. Now, there was a guy that worked with Paul, and he was one of his co-workers in ministry. But verse 10 is a sad verse, and his name was Demas. Look at verse 10, and you tell me what Demas loved. Paul loved Christ appearing, but what did Demas love? Look at it. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He fell in love with the world system of Satan down here. By the way, can that happen to anybody? Absolutely. That was his downfall. He loved the world system down here. And you know what happened? It kept Demas from finishing his course. It's so easy to fall in love with the world down here. Instead of loving his appearing, I love the world system down here that I'm in. So easy. Because the world promises pleasure. The world promises fun. But at the end of the day, it does not deliver. Bill Scholes is, I don't know if he's in here or not, but I saw Bill earlier. He's walking, there he is. He's in the balcony. Brother Bill was a police officer in Port Orange for years, and he was telling me, he said when he was out there, doing the calls and all that, and was out, not in the office, but out actually in the city of Port Orange, he said that it was really sad because he said, like on, you'd get a call and it'd be Thanksgiving, it'd be like domestic violence issue, and he said you'd go and it'd be Thanksgiving Day, and of course usually drinking's involved, and he said everything would be off the walls, everything would be on the floor, it looked like a bomb went off, the family turkey's laying in the floor. He said it's just a total mess. And he said, you know what really, he said, was amazing is that he said it happened in the poorest and in the richest neighborhoods of Port Orange. He said the economic level of the neighborhood had nothing to do with it. Am I right, Brother Bill? He said it happened in the poorest and the richest neighborhoods. Christian, you know what? The world promises you fun and pleasure, but it does not deliver at the end of the day. Let me tell you something right now. We are not of this world. And this verse up here, look at it with me. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the what?" That's not the spirit we have, Christian, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Talking about eternal things. It's so easy to fall in love with the world. I'm going to tell you this. I think it's in your handout. Our love for the world increases, our love for Jesus Christ diminishes. As our love for the world system down here increases, our love for Jesus Christ diminishes. If you look in your handout at 1 John 2:15, will you look at that verse with me? It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You can't love both. Hey, didn't Jesus say you can't love and serve two masters? You know, if we want to finish our course strong, you got to love the right thing. You got to love Jesus Christ with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. What we talked about last week. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart. What's the second greatest commandment? Love people. Put your love in the right place. Don't love money. Don't love things. Don't love temporal possessions. Don't love this world system. As you love Jesus Christ, your Savior, and as you keep your eyes on Him, and as you love His appearing, your love is appearing, you're looking for it, He will strengthen you to overcome every adversity of life and finish your race. He will help you to overcome every adversity. You can navigate around it and finish your race. Hey, you know what? I don't know about you. I'm never going to get in a car and go 200 miles per hour around that racetrack out there. How about you? But you know what? Can I finish my race for Jesus Christ? Amen? How am I going to do it? Look at the screen. Number one, what did we say? Number one, we have to look for Christ what? I want you to tomorrow morning, I'm serious, I want you in the morning, when you wake up, I want you to think about the fact that this could be the day. This could be the end of the dispensation of grace. This could be the day of the rapture. This may be the day I see Jesus face to face. And I want you to live tomorrow in anticipation of that and then try to make that a habit. Number two, if we're going to run the race and we're going to be victorious,